one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound on my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name.
I love the story of Thomas. I think it's just a fantastic story. I suspect that there are some of us here today who really identify with what Thomas has to say. Thomas is in this room and everybody is around him. And I tried to capture that in the sketch that we just saw. It's like everybody around him has met one way or another the risen Jesus. And somebody's saying, "Well, you know, he walked along the road with me and, you know, he brought bread and I just knew it was him." And somebody else is saying, "He showed me the marks in his hands and his side." And Mary's saying, "He called me by name." And so it goes on and on. All these people saying, "We've met the risen Jesus." And here's Thomas going, "Whoops, why hasn't he appeared to me? Why haven't I got what other people seem to have?" My guess is this morning is that there are some people in this church today who are feeling that they are in exactly that position today. You look round and some people seem to be really rejoicing in the Lord today. They really do seem to know him and you're thinking, "Well, if only what happened to Thomas could happen to me. If only the Lord could do something that would just make it obvious to me that all these things are true." Actually, there may be some of us in the church today that actually the Lord has made it obvious to you and you've kind of let it slip from your mind a bit. And there was a day when he really revealed himself to you. Don't forget that day when that happened. Don't stop praising him for it. But the point of this story in Scripture is not to say to us that each one of us is going to get an experience where we see his hands and we see his sides. No, John goes on in his gospel to say that there were many other signs that Jesus gave. In fact, John says at the very end of his book that if all the things that Jesus did were to be written down altogether, that the whole world could not contain the number of books that would be written. Jesus did so much, there are a few stories that happily they wrote down on some scrolls and we've got to tell today. But there were many more. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians 20-odd years after Jesus died, describes a time when 500 people all met the risen Lord Jesus at once. And there were many of these stories. Jesus appearing to different people, revealing himself in different ways, and them seeing that he was alive and them coming to faith in him. So Jesus says to Thomas, "You believe because you have seen me. But how blessed are those who have not seen me, but they still believe. Now, Jesus is not saying they get extra points because they haven't seen me. That's how, for a long time, I thought you should read that text. You know, if I can somehow believe without seeing, then I'll be doing well. That's not what that verse is saying at all. What it says is that Jesus today is perfectly capable of revealing himself. Jesus can reveal himself to you. Jesus can reveal himself to me. And if all the stories about it were to be told, the whole world could not contain all of the books that would be written about it. So today, if today you're saying, well, I'm not sure, my advice to you, and this is really, really strong advice that I want to give to you this Easter Sunday morning. My advice to you this Easter Sunday is take Thomas as your model. Learn from Thomas. Thomas said, look, I can't believe it just because you guys are saying it. And in the sketch, I tried to express perhaps a bit of the frustration that the other disciples might have felt. Thomas, why can't you just believe what we're saying? But Thomas says, no, I don't believe. I have to see this for myself. And if that's you today, then please make that your prayer. Don't just sort of try and act alongside other people. Say to the Lord, make it your prayer today and say, Lord, I want to know you. Because Jesus says that there is an incredible blessing for those who believe in Jesus. John has taken 19 and a half chapters of his gospel to spell out what that blessing looks like. That blessing is called eternal life. That blessing is called the resurrection life of Jesus coming into you. That blessing is about the Holy Spirit being in you. And it's something that we want to know for real. It's not something that we just want to play games with. It's not just something that we want to accept second best about. How blessed are those, Jesus says, who believe. So today, make it your prayer to the Lord to say, Lord, I want to know you. And if today you're saying, well, I do know Jesus, let's follow Thomas in terms of the way that he spoke to Jesus, my Lord, my God. Because when you know Jesus, there is no other way to reply to him. He is my Lord. Yes, he is Lord of all the earth. The ancient Christian confession is, Jesus is Lord. But the great thing happens for Thomas now. That Jesus is Lord becomes Jesus is my Lord. That's what Thomas said. From that day on, Thomas knew that this one that he had met, that this one who'd shown him the marks in his hand, who'd shown him the spear mark in his side, was now going to be in charge of Thomas's life. And so today, if you know him, come to him and say, Jesus, you are my Lord. Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want to learn from you. Jesus, I want to be your disciple. That's what baptism is about. Baptism is about making this statement, Lord, I'm your disciple. I want to learn from you. I want to follow you. If you haven't been baptized as a believer, as I said on Thursday night at the communion service, why not? This is how you say, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. And Thomas says to Jesus, my God. And John has been trying to explain all the way through his gospel what it means that Jesus should be God. And he starts off, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on to try and explain it. And he gives lots of stories that illustrate what it means. He talks about Jesus sharing the glory of the Father. He talks about the cross as the way that Jesus returned to the glory that he had before the world was made. But for Thomas, Jesus is God, has become Jesus is my God. I now have a real relationship with him. I now love him. I've now been caught up into the relationship with the Father and the Son. So if you know this, let's live in it. Let's enjoy this incredible blessing that on that day when Jesus spoke to Thomas, he pronounced on me and he pronounced on each one of us, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I want to say to the Lord today, Lord, I want to live in that blessing. Lord, I want to know that blessing day by day. I want to know your eternal life just reaching through me. I want to know the work of your Holy Spirit within me more and more. And remember, as Ben read to us, that just before this story about Jesus appearing to Thomas, Jesus is breathing on the disciples by the Holy Spirit. And we say, yes, Lord, you are my Lord. You are my God. And I'm going to live within that blessing too. Jesus said before he died that it was actually to our benefit that he should go away. Let me spell that out in terms of the story of Thomas. In the story of Thomas, Jesus gives Thomas what Thomas wants. Thomas says, I want to see the marks. Jesus gives it. He then says, how blessed are those who haven't seen. Jesus says it's to your advantage. He says, and please get this because this is so important, there is a greater blessing for those to whom Jesus reveals himself like now for us than there was for Thomas at that time. Jesus says, if I return to the Father, the Holy Spirit will come and he will guide you and he will lead you and he will convict the world. And if that all sounds too big and as if I'm really struggling to try and put it into words today, yes, I am struggling. There are no words that can describe how wonderful this blessing is. But what I can do today is to invite you to be part of that blessing this Easter Sunday. If you don't know the Lord, then be like Thomas. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you think you need. And keep asking and keep searching. Because Jesus promises that if you go on seeking, you will find. But if you know the Lord today, to say to him like Thomas did, my Lord and my God, and be grasped again by this incredible man who suffered, died, and was buried, and is alive for each one of us today. I want to read a poem to you. There are some pictures that go with it. Jesus in the garden, newly risen from the dead, who stood by weeping Mary and who heard the words she said, as if you were the gardener, till at last your shepherd's voice called her Mary, and with one word gave her reason to rejoice. Jesus in the garden, ever new, but still the same. Help me recognize you in the speaking of my name. Jesus on the journey, fellow traveller on the road, who met two disciples, sad, walking with them as you showed the meaning of the scriptures that predicted you would rise. But only when you blessed the meal could they believe their eyes. Jesus on the journey, meet me where my hopes have fled. Help me recognise you in the breaking of the bread. Jesus in the locked room, breaking through despair and doubt, who comforted your friends when they had shut the whole world out, who came again for Thomas and revealed his hands and sides so that he could touch and know you as alive, though you had died. Jesus in the locked room, breaking through our self-built bars. Help me recognize you in the touching of your scars. Jesus on the shoreline, cooking breakfast for your friends, who offered guilty Peter once one more chance to make amends, who filled a net with fish for him and helped him to recall the first catch that convinced him to respond to your first call. Jesus on the shoreline, know my best, forgive my worst. Help me recognize you in the way I met you first. Let's pray together. Perhaps in the silence, perhaps with a sense of awe, perhaps with a sense of questioning, but however we want to say it today, if you feel ready to use those five words of Thomas to the Lord today, just quietly say to him, my Lord and my God. And hear the blessing of Jesus. How blessed are those who believe without seeing. Lord, we bow down before you as risen Lord today, our Lord and our God. And Father, to say that we want to receive the blessing that you promised. And to say that where we have already received that blessing, Lord, we would want to appreciate it so much more. Today we come to celebrate the risen Saviour. Today we come to celebrate the one that death could not hold. Today we come to celebrate the one who saw that Thomas had not seen, and who knew that Thomas needed to see, and who knows our needs this morning. So we pray this morning, my Lord and my God, and we worship.